again. I can say we are back again, just like Peter and John. You know, they were surprised when they were miraculously delivered from the prison and they found them in the temple. They say, ah, you people again. After they have warned them, you know, they can't really help themselves. Mm. They can't stop talking about all these things. And today too, we can't help ourselves. Mm. Stop talking about this, because we are talking about an eternal gift, a gift that keeps giving. As long as the gift remains eternal, the message remains eternal. So you begin to see us in your faces all the time talking about this. And we know that we are in this dispensation of grace, and the message for now is not the message of God that gives and takes away, like Job was talking about. It's the God that gives and gives again. Amen. Because his gifts are without repentance. It's the one that gives and does not find fault. And that's what he's talking to that woman, that the word I'm going to give to you is not just like the other word that you're used to. It's the word that is inside of you. It's bringing forth
to eternal
life. So we welcome you again to, at least for those who have listened to the last episode, the transmission, where we talk about a lifetime gift. You really need to look at it as we continue again. So we want you to delve with us. You might need to turn up the device, your development of your device, and if you need a drink, grab a drink as we continue in this conversation, the Bucket Ministry. So you're welcome again.
Okay, now viewers and listeners all over the world, welcome to another exciting episode of the Bucket Ministry series. And we trust that the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of Christ, will illuminate your heart, will regulate your mind, so that the words that you hear will form fully in your heart, that it will be fleshed out in your experience. Amen. Don't forget, we're not here for any theological exercise, as it were, but we're here to bring forth the life of Christ through the word that we declare. So join us as we go back into the fourth chapter of the book of John. I think today we're going into the 15th verse. But before you go to the 15th verse, I would like you to read the 14th verse and continue therein to the 15th verse, so that we can see the background of the 15th verse.
Okay, but whoever drinks this water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Okay.
But the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, satisfying his thirst for God, welling up continually, flowing, bubbling within him to eternal life.
Now, bubbling within him to eternal life. Now, please, viewers and listeners, note that word, bubbling unto. There is a focus of that water. The water was meant to release or to keep manifesting what? Eternal life. Now, hold on to that. Now, look at the next verse, 15. Now, what does it say, please?
The woman said to him,
the woman said, okay,
give me this water so that I will not get thirsty, nor have to continually come all the way here to draw.
You know, this is quite important that we actually look at this woman's statement and the way he understood what Jesus had been telling her all along. You know, it's important that you see that Jesus and this woman were having the discussion by well.
Yeah.
And that Jesus, being the King of Glory, the Lord of Glory, always has a particular approach to people that he encounters. He tries to speak to them in their world. He tries to speak to them in their context.
In the language they understand,
in the environment where they find themselves. That's why he often uses at times parables, even though you might say parables are some of the lowest form of spiritual revelation, because every time Jesus goes back into his disciples in the closet, he tries to tell them the meaning of what? The parable. He said the people out there, they are the ones that need parables. For those in the kingdom, everything has to be expressed. There's nothing mysterious for us in the kingdom. But you know one thing, Jesus was always in that manner. You see, at the time when they were going to get bread and the leaven, he told them, beware of the leaven of what? The Pharisees in Luke chapter 12. And they said, he must have said that because we didn't come with no bread. Because they were used to Jesus always using the natural circumstance to pass the spiritual or significance. But this is the point. Jesus was talking to this woman about water, about well, and all these things. And he was talking about it close to a physical what? Well. So it wasn't that very hard to see the reason why the woman began to misconstrue what Jesus was trying to pass across. Because when Jesus said there's a water that you can get, that if you have this water, you will not need to come. You will not thirst again. So the woman said, oh, maybe this will save me some energy and some time of coming back to this Jacob's well. I mean, Jesus wasn't referring to Jacob's well. Please, I would encourage you to go back to some of our previous episodes where we established the fact that Jesus wasn't referring to that well. He was only using the experience of the woman at the physical well as an allegory to explain about something about life. But this woman seemed not to be getting it, because she said in verse 15, the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not and do not come to this particular Jacob's well to draw. She was still missing the point. You know, Jesus talking about eternal life, she was missing the point. And you see, the reason why we need to talk about this is Jesus made a presentation of his kind of life. Jesus made a presentation of his water. But can you see, this woman did not understand what Jesus was saying. So you might want to say she didn't get the meaning of the word eternal life. She didn't understand what his life was all about. Now see what Jesus said in the next verse, which is verse what?
16.
You see, every time we talk about life eternal, in our last transmission, we were talking about what we titled the gift of a lifetime. I'm not sure if some of you have heard that episode before you listen to this one. But the fact is, the presentation of the life of God that Christ made in the 14th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of John did not make any much sense to this woman, because she was asking in the 15th verse, I mean, give me this so that I can what? I can solve my problems. You know, if I may put it, a lot of people that hear the gospel today in some churches or in some ministrations that people listen to, the way some people hear the presentation of Christ, the way Christ is presented to some people, they are thinking, oh, maybe with this presentation, I could actually solve some of my life's what? Problem. I could probably get ahead of my peers with this kind of energy that Christ can present, with this kind of solution that this Jesus is presenting. Maybe I could live a better life than I'm living at the moment.
I can improve.
Or just maybe I wouldn't need to be coming to the well all the time. Or just maybe I wouldn't probably need to work so hard at my job if I can just find a way of using Christ to manifest and multiply my resources. Or just maybe I may not need to have that many friends like I think I need to have. If I could just understand that with this Christ, I may not feel lonely anymore. And people hear the gospel, they hear the presentation of eternal life, and they are thinking how they can customize, how they can put Jesus into the context of their daily life to make life better, to live. That is what this woman heard. She said, Jesus, whatever you think you are presenting, I think it makes sense.
I wouldn't need
to be coming to every time to what? To draw water. And you see, this is not unique to this woman. These are some people here anytime you present the gospel. In fact, may I say this? In some quarters where the gospel of Jesus, of eternal life, is being presented, some people, this is what they are hearing. They are hearing what this woman is saying in the 15th verse. Don't forget, please, it was not a pastor that preached verse 14. It was not just an apostle that preached verse 14. It was not just a messenger of the gospel that preached verse 14 of the 4th chapter of the book of John. It was Jesus himself. He was the King of glory himself. He was the life of God in human form himself that preached in the 14th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of John. Yet the woman was thinking that Jesus' presentation was something that she could probably use to get ahead of life, or something that would save her the stress of coming to draw water again and again. It means she wasn't really getting the crux of the presentation of eternal life in the 14th verse.
It's just a shame today that it is the woman that was making that mistake in this story.
Yeah.
But today we find out that it's even the so-called custodian of the gospel that are making that mistake, and they feel like they want to come out as life coaches. They want to come out as improvement. The messages being styled and rebranded as improvement courses. I remember sharing when somebody at least stopped me in the road and was saying, and he wanted to preach the gospel, and he would say, what part of your life do you want improvement, you know? That kind of a thing. You know, it's not the woman doing this to the Samaritan woman. It's even like Jesus becoming the Samaritan woman now. So these are people that are trying to, rebranding the gospel as the old gospel as improvement course. Which part of your financial life we can work as a life coach, and this is not what Jesus was doing. He was trying to correct this woman from this error, and that's the error that people are perpetrating. Now,
you see, if you're listening to this, we want to put this into the right context. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, the grace of God in your life, the power of God that came into you, of course, puts you in a position where you have dominion, not just in the life to come, but in this present what? World. I mean, in the name of Jesus, you can cast out devils, and you have to. In the name of Jesus, you should turn stone to bread like it did. In the name of Jesus, you're supposed to believe in his capacity to multiply resources beyond what this world can make available to you. In the name of Jesus, you can heal the sick. In the name of Jesus, you should raise the dead. You see, the Lord spoke to Paul. He said, Paul, don't be afraid. I've got men in the city. In the name of Jesus, you can be delivered from your enemies. You can be delivered from those who want to put you in bondage, because the Spirit of Christ is ahead of the system of this world. So it means if you're walking with Christ, you will walk in such a way that every imagination of darkness that they think they're going to hold against you, you can walk free from them because you have the wisdom of Christ in you. We do not deny that reality. But what we are denying is that people come to Christ and say, how usable can Christ be for me? If Christ becomes an utility, is Christ an utility?
It means.
This is what this woman thought. She said, I can use you. I wouldn't need to come to the well like that. This is what Jesus said. No, that you missed the point. That's not the point of what I'm presenting. Now, you will see the reason why the woman missed the point. And that's what we're going to look at in the next verse. Look at verse 16. We're going to zero in on this today. And look at what does verse 16 say? Jesus said unto her, go and call your husband and come back. Here. Now, let's talk about now, because I presented to you eternal life, because I presented to you the gift that we're bubbling up to eternal life. And the reason you don't get it is because I will tell you that even before I presented eternal life, life was already coming for you in some other places. Now, this is the reason why a lot of people struggle with the gospel. Jesus is saying that we cannot understand the whole point of life, what? Eternal, this life that keeps giving, unless we understand that there are some other things that have been in place that are releasing meaning, releasing satisfaction, releasing contentment, releasing fulfillment into our life already. And unless we understand that, we're not going to get down to the crux or the foundation of what? Of the gospel. That's why Jesus said, well, now since you don't understand what eternal life is, go and call your husband. Can you see? That's what Christ was simply saying here. It means every presentation of the gospel has to identify in people's life that you are already giving, you're already getting, life sustainance, right. You're already getting life meaning. There's something already that's taking the root in you that is giving you that life, that is giving you that satisfaction about who you are, that is putting value and worth on your life. There's something already in place. And if you understand that there's something in place, what I'm presenting to you is to come and take hold of that same place. That is what Christ is saying. He says, so go and call your husband. Then you see that. And that's what we're going to be looking further on today, that every presentation of eternal life, every receiving of eternal life, we must receive it in such a way that we understand that what the life of God has come to do in us is not just to become something we can use as utility. It has not just come to give us a head or to make us make better progress or to give us strength to be better in every area of life. It has not come to do that. It has come to take hold of who we are, of what we are, of how we see ourselves, of what we think about. It has come to take root of our meaning and value in life. That's what we see by the word of God there. Now, quickly, you want to say one or two things before we go
on? It seems like the presentation of the gospel might become ineffective if you really don't know how to identify the husbands.
That
people are drawing meaning from.
Already given
life. Like, things that they hide of, you know, and it might change from congregation to congregation, city to city. And I think like Paul knows how to use that very well. And Jesus even used that to know what is it inside. So what is the idol for you, really, to identify that thing before you introduce that this is the better alternative? Well, so for this woman, we know that he drew it from something, and it was good that Jesus recognized that and said, yes, I can pinpoint this, your husband is it. So we must be able to pinpoint this as a ministers of gospel, to be able to pinpoint who is the husband, who are the idols, what are people drawing meaning from? It might even be from the cultural values. What are the gods in their lives?
Thank you. Now, today, if you might want to say, we are trying to look, what is life eternal? What is eternal life? You know, you ask, one of my daughter was asking some days ago, I'm not sure if I mentioned that to you, where she was saying that, what really is eternal life? Does it mean that you're going to live on forever? She was asking that question. And you see, that was a very good question to ask, because as amazing as that is, even if she's quite a very young girl, is a lot of people have been in the faith who have been Christians for so many years cannot really answer that question in a clear and concise manner. And our inability to answer that question in verse 14 of John chapter 4 is what makes us to start thinking like it is in verse 15. We'll begin to say, well, is that verse 15 or verse 14? Yeah, in verse 15, why we then customize and turn to Jesus for utility? Because we can't answer the eternal life question. We need to answer that question. Let's go quickly to John chapter 17. We need to answer that question. What is the life eternal that we receive? John 17, let's start from the third verse. John chapter 17, verse 3.
Now, this is eternal life.
What is that presentation that Jesus made to that woman? Don't forget, if you are born again, if you are born again, you're a Christian, that is what you receive. But don't forget that our focus on this Bucket Ministry series is to bring us all by the grace of God to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what does it say in the third
verse? This is eternal life.
Now, this is life eternal. Can you see it? Live forever.
That they may know you.
Okay, now, can you see? He didn't say this is life eternal so they can exist forever. I mean, we're going to go to some scriptures today because we're trying to identify the presentation of Christ to this woman. He said this is life what?
Eternal.
This is what it means to have life eternal. That is what?
That they may know you.
They may come to an understanding of who you are. Go on, please.
The only true, supreme, and sovereign God.
Now, please, can you see? You have to understand the context of the scripture. If we would have just said that they may know you, the Lord God. It could have just said that they may know you, that you are God. That would have been okay, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with that. He would still have passed his message across. But specifically, he said that they may know you. Now, watch it. The only what?
True
God. Now, it means if there is the only true God, you don't have a true God unless there are false gods. Can you see that? You don't have a true God unless there are what? False gods. It means, it's saying eternal life. Somebody receiving the life of God is the person coming to a knowing that there is only one true God. And every order are false. Every order that are presenting themselves as gods are not true gods at all. He said that is what it means for somebody to be coming into the knowledge of what? Of eternal life. That's what it means to receive the life of God. That every other thing in your life, every other thing clamoring for your identity, clamoring to give you what? Identity. Every other thing clamoring to name you, you are saying you are false. You are a false God. You are not the true God. He said that is what it means to come into eternal what? That is what it means. I think we didn't say that's what he says. That's what he was telling that woman, that since you don't understand what it means when I said I will give you a water that will well up to what? Go and call your husband. Let's talk about the false gods. So let's talk about the things that are trying to name you. Let's talk about them. If we can knock them off, if you can come to understanding that I have come to name you, I've come to define you, that means you have begun to receive that life. That's what Jesus said. Okay, you see, now go on, please.
And in the same manner, know Jesus as the Christ, whom you have sent.
Now, this is what we see as life eternal. So if you are saying today that you have received the life of God, if you are saying you have received what? Eternal life. He said that consciousness should bring you to a point where you say, the only person, the only one, the only life that names who I am, how I see myself, is Christ Jesus. Whatever Christ is in me, that is what I am. Every other thing that is trying to name itself in my life is a false what? God. This is what it means to be talking about receiving what? Eternal life. Now, there's one thing. You want to say one or two things there? Mm-hmm. Now, there's one thing about that life eternal. Now, if you have a Greek concordance, I want to just read that. And the Greek concordance, that word, what? Eternal life is the Greek word aeonios or aeonios. I mean, which is where we got the word aeon from.
Yeah.
Now, see what the Greek concordance, the Greek lexicon has to say about that word. This is life eternal. That word life eternal. See what it says? It says, derived from the word age, having a particular character and a particular quality. Okay, you see, it's not necessarily about living forever. I said it's a type, it's a quality, it's the character of a life that you call what? Eternal life. And it says properly, and it says the quality describing a particular age, the unique quality of God's life at work in the believer. That is, the Lord manifests his self-existence life. Now see, he said the life operates simultaneously outside of time, inside of time, and beyond time, and it gives time its everlasting meaning for the believer through faith. Now, look at this. It says something about his life. which is now what it says, it does not focus on the future per se. He said, eternal life, the use of that word in the Greek context, aionios, does not really focus on the future per se, but rather on the quality of the life. It's the character of the life. It's the type of life. It's more about the quality and character of a life rather than the fact that it exists what? Forevermore. He said this is what is called eternal life. So anytime it's being received into somebody's life, the person is simply saying, my quality of life, my type of life, the character of life that I have now is the same that is in Christ. The same life of Christ. And that life of Christ is what then automatically and ultimately makes us see ourselves as Christ sees us, as we are seeing. This is what eternal life means. It means you cannot see yourself in any other way. You cannot identify yourself in any other way. So that's why Jesus told the woman, if you don't understand what eternal life is, go and call your husband. This story about the rich young ruler. And if you don't, I think it's the Matthew, if you don't actually understand this, John chapter 4, the story of the rich young ruler might be very confusing. Because what did the man ask for when he came to Jesus? He said, what can I do so that I may have eternal life?
Eternal life.
Well, he didn't, you know, some of us, we thought that the man said, I want to live forevermore. You know, if you understand what the Greek, when the Greek man says aionios, he's not really talking about you existing forever. Of course, if you have this quality of life will make you live forever. Because why? It's the same life that is in God. In fact, John chapter 6 says, as the Father has life in himself, so he has given the Son life, and to whom that the Son will give the life to. It means the reason why God is God, why he cannot die, is because of the life that he carries. Of course, with that quality of life, you would not die. That's true. But really, it's not just about not dying, it's about the quality of the life itself. So when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, what good thing can I do to have or to what? To gain what? Eternal life. You know, when he came to ask that question, Jesus knew that this man doesn't understand what he's even asking for. You know, at times you ask for something, you don't understand. You know, John and James, when they said, we can sit at your right and your left, and with their mom, Jesus said, you don't even know what you're asking about. Do you know what you, Jesus was looking at a rich young ruler. The Bible said he looked at him and loved him because he doesn't even know what he was asking for. You know why? The reason why he doesn't understand what he was asking for is unknown to him. He was already deriving this life, an alternative life from something else. He was already getting contentment, the completion of life, the meaning of life. He was already getting it. So what he was asking Jesus to give to him, he was already getting his fix, you know, like people that use drugs, they get their, he was already getting his fix. So how can you ask me? It's like you coming to me, you hold things in your hands, and you're asking me, I should give something to you. When your hands are what? Clenched, you're holding, Jesus said, come on, man, you are holding on to a life, and you're asking me to give you what? Life. No, you can't. So Jesus told him, go and sell all that you have. It's just like Jesus telling this woman,
free yourself.
Go and call your husband. It's just like saying, now that you want this quality of life, you want to be defined by me, right? Well, you got to release what already defines you. You have to release whatever. You want me to name you? You've already been named by something else. I mean, two of us can't name you at the same time. So when he told the man to go and sell all that he has, all he was trying to tell him was, let's talk about eternal life. But you know what? If you understood what money has meant to you, you understand what I want to mean to you. This is why people don't understand eternal life. This woman in this John chapter 4, did you understand what Jesus meant by giving? Jesus said, well, go and call your husband. The way men have meant what? To you. That's how men have become so real to you. How you cannot continue to live your life until you have one man or the other. Because you see, we know in this place, she had had what? 5 husbands. Life doesn't make any sense to you unless you have this man. That's the way I want life not to make sense for you unless you have me. I want life to become useless for you unless you have me. That's why Jesus said in the gospel, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Do you know what that verse means? It means I want you to see yourself as worthless unless you receive the worth and the value that I'm bringing to you. I want you to see your life as nothing except you continually cling on the definition I give you through my word. I want you to see your life as without meaning unless you latch on to the meaning I gave you through my word. I want you to see that you are without any strength unless you latch into the strength I'm giving you. Christ is saying, if you understood what your husbands meant to you, as real as they were to you, that's how real I want to become in your life. That's why Rich was asking about eternal life. He said, go and call your husband. And the same way he spoke to the rich young ruler, go and sell all you have. And that's what we see, that the life of God in the life of a believer is not for just by and by in the future. It is supposed to become the reality of who you are, of what you see, of how you name yourself in the now. That's what we see by the word of God.
Yeah, for this woman, it was the spouse. So for you, it might just be your children. It might just be your CV. Maybe Jesus is letting you bring your CV. That project that you know you can figure is your dream. Your dream project. This is what your life consists of. Because some is just about the project. But one sense of goodwill, about their charity, what they're doing, is even ministry. So Jesus might be saying to you today, go and call, bring that ministry. Those are the things that the Lord is calling out for. So it depends. It might be something different. And it's very interesting that Jesus say, go and call this and come back again. You know, let us do the recalibration. Because today, some people have come to a place of ministry and where they have messages and everything. He sent them off again, you know, to come twice the son of the devil. They run again with the more energy to this choir. People come around and what they learn. And they say they are looking through the Gospels and Beatitudes. They are even learning business skills and ideas. And so they run off. They are not coming back again for recalibration. Let us see this in the light of eternity. So they are coming running off with another energy to say, let's go and conquer. Let's go and acquire. Let's go and grab. And this, all this. We say, go and bring this husband. Come back again for where the recalibration is. Let's bring it to the cross. So all these things, we are not just going to identify them and just know them and just live and run with it and say, well, we are bringing it back, come back again and let us do the recalibration.
Thank you for that. Now, please, if you are watching this today and you were believing the Spirit of Christ, the revelation knowledge of God's Word, to bring all of us into understanding of what the Zoe life of God is in the life of a believer. It means Jesus is saying everybody has the capacity to understand what eternal life is. All you need to do is look at your life now. I mean, like you just said, thank you for mentioning that for some people, it's not just about like what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. To some people, Jesus might just say, go and bring that thing that you have to, the things you go to give you peace in the time of trouble. Where do you defect to give you peace? For some of you, it might be, go and bring that thing. What do you think about anytime you're falling here or you're sick or there's a disease or somewhere? I mean, what
is that thing you have?
What is it that you always say, oh yes, okay, that's it. I mean, as long as I go to that or do that, then I think I'm fine. I mean, where do you defect to? What do you think about it? I say, okay, good. Thank God.
I just want to
this is in
bring
place.
This, you know, this story, the incident of this, the Elisha with that woman, the Shunammite, and was saying, what do you want? I was asking, you know, when you want to give somebody, and somebody say, I have enough, and what does it, I dwell among my people. So some people, it's not actually the money, what they do. Some because of the people they dwell with, the influence they have among their people, the kind of effect, their ministry, their work has conferred on them. And so this woman was not able to receive anything. Just like you say, you can't receive anything with the hand already filled and closed.
Oh my Jesus.
So she could not receive from Elisha. Elisha was saying, what can I do? He said, already I am filled, already. And this is my fulfillment, is from the people I dwell among my people.
That's
so we have all these things as fortress. So it actually may not be money, maybe our sense of worth derived from our environment, community, how people value us, or the sense of the satisfaction from the joy that we taste from what we have accomplished. So it might be people, it might even be doctrines that people that
oh yeah, now we hold on.
It's a fortress for them.
Thank you for that. You know what Jesus is saying through this discourse in the 14th and 15th verse of John chapter 4, he simply tried to say one thing clearly, that every human on the face of the earth has the capacity to simply understand eternal life. All we have to do is just come down to the context of your life. Just tell them, can you see how you go crazy about these things?
Yeah.
You can see the thing that if somebody takes it from you, you can fight tooth and nail.
Yeah.
You can see that thing in your life, if somebody deprives you of it, you can kill them. Or you can see that thing in your life, if somebody steps on it and somebody tries to stop you from accessing it, you can do anything beyond your wildest imagination. He said, if you simply understand that in your life, that's the way Christ wants to become to you. That is what Jesus wants to become. That's what he wants to metamorphose into your life. That is life eternal. That when Jesus becomes that way to you, when Christ becomes that way to you, then you know that you have received what? Eternal life. That's what he said to that woman. He said, go and bring your husband. I want to become that real to you. I want to become that obvious in your life. I want to become, I want to take hold and take root in that same way in your life. You know, some of us, there are some things that when we wake up in our own solitude, in our own quietness, and you think, oh, is it still there? It's still there. Oh, that connection is still there. Okay. Those people, they still love me. Okay. That person, I'm still in their good books. Oh, okay, I'm still going to be in that particular place, or that thing is still going to work out. And it just makes you feel satisfied. It just makes you feel happy with your life at the moment. It makes you feel, yes, it doesn't matter if nothing else works, as long as this is working. And Jesus said, that is the way I want you to see me. And that's why he said, without me, you can do nothing. And when he says, without me, you can do nothing, it's simply, I mean, there are some of the verses that you read in the Bible that they don't make any sense unless you put them in context. When Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, it's not saying that because today, you mean, a lot of people that don't even depend on Christ, they don't even depend, some of them might even become, you might be a Christian, pay lip service to the gospel, but yet you know that you, without the help of Christ, without his understanding, without his revelation, without his strength, there are so many things you are doing on your own. But when he said, without me, you can do nothing, he's saying, I want to be in such a way to your life that unless you rely on me, unless you think through me, unless you receive my strength, you come to a point where you say, I can't go on anymore unless I have that sense of consciousness of Christ on a daily basis. And it says, every human, every person on the face of the earth can simply understand what eternal life by simply looking at other things they've actually gained their sense of life from. Christ is saying, I want to become that real to you on a daily basis. And that's why he told that woman, before we go further, you will never understand life eternal that I'm bringing. Go and bring your husband first. That's what he said.
We really need to be truthful and be sincere with ourselves when we are doing this re-evaluation, because when you are talking and saying that Jesus should be the holy no, Christ is holy no, to replace that in that way that has stood as something for as fortress for us.
Mm.
You know, some people might say, yes, Christ is all enough for me. And in their demonstration of that, their ministry, they are going crazy. You know, it's not, you know, some people will say what they are doing is even about, they say, well, that is Christ.
Ah.
Fighting for Christ. But you know that it's about their self-esteem attached to it.
Yeah,
It's about the empire they have built around it. So I say, you can see them going crazy, but they want to at least misdirected that I feel like I'm doing that for Christ because it has the name of Christ in it.
Well,
but we have to be really sincere to know this because some people, you know, their own the weakness, what they are fighting is not about, oh, it is about the career or something. It's even about the way they go about this, the commission, the ministry about it and say they can afford to go crazy. After all, it's in the name of the Lord. But we know that they just have the name attached to it. There's something they are deriving
from it. So, which means Christ is still a means to an end.
Then, for them.
Well, that's even...
masquerading as if it's all for Christ.
Now, thank you for that.
We remember the sons of the Zealot brothers, you know, they were there. The zeal. And that is like, oh, Christ is done. We are ready to fight. We'll do this for this. So, people need to be sincere to really...
Now, that's a very good thing. I think, the reason why I didn't want to go into that area is because I think in the past we might have touched on some of those things where we understand that, when Satan came to tempt Jesus, when we did this in our previous episode, the purpose of hunger, you might want to look for that title and listen to it, where Satan thought he could spiritualize the whole thing to Jesus, and he told him to turn stone to what?
To bread.
To bread. And Jesus said to him that it is written, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I mean, man, again, that word live there, L-I-V-E, is the same thing that we've denoted from life. It means it's simply saying that man will come to a fulfillment and a satisfaction of who he is. It's just simply by the word that is proceeding from the mouth of God. The word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the word of God that became flesh, is what? Is Christ Jesus. That man will come to a point to know that once you receive eternal life, he lives by eternal life. It means Christ is an end in himself. That you are fulfilled and complete now in Christ Jesus. You are righteous. You are holy. You are accepted. You are perfected in Christ. You are on top of the world in Christ. In fact, you are seated with Christ in the world, heavenly places, that you don't need, you would not need to amass so much, or you would not need to go that far in ministry, or you would not need to be in charge and in control over this number or that number, or do so much exploit for you to come to a sense of what? Contentment and fulfillment. That receiving life eternal means you are contented now. But if you don't want to use Christ to achieve contentment, or use the name of Christ or the ministry of Christ as a means so that you can get to something that makes you what? Fulfilled. It means you are back to square one. That's why don't allow the enemy to spiritualize these things to you. That's why the enemy told Jesus, well, it doesn't matter. You turn stone to what? To bread. Jesus said, no. If I turn to stone to bread or not, I live by the word that proceeds from the mouth of the. This is what you are talking about. So it means Christ is offering this woman. You know, we said this yesterday, and I think, we said it on our past transmission, but for those who didn't listen to this, or if you have listened to that, we might want to make it clearer to simply say Jesus did not at any point in time to this woman counter the notion of having an husband. That wasn't the point. That is not the point. Because the scripture tells to us that male and female created Eden. He was the one that started the marriage institution. He was the one that actually created Adam and Eve, and he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The marriage institution was not an offshoot of a human culture. It's not an African thing. It is not a British thing. It is not an American culture. The marriage institution was in the mind of God, and it was a picture of Christ and what? The church. And it gave us something literal, something physical that we can see to demonstrate Christ and the church. So the idea of marriage is from the mind of God. So he had nothing against this woman having what? A husband. No, but the point he was trying to say is, here we have a woman who already understood what it means to have a type of life, because she was getting a kick, a life, a satisfaction, a sense of who she was from her husband. This is what the whole point is. And that is what eternal life has come to knock in the life of a believer. That you and I come to a point where you are simply saying, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for you declared me righteous. You are saying I'm right. Is that okay? You are saying that I'm complete. You are saying my sins are forgiven. You are saying I'm seated with you in the heavenly places, far above what? Principalities and power. It's not until I attain that degree qualification that I know I've arrived. It's not until I get to that part, or it's not until I get to that particular position that I know I've arrived. It's not until I'm accepted into that group that I know I've arrived. It's not until I've attained a particular network that I know I've arrived. It's not until I travel to that destination that I know I've arrived. It's not until I'm given a particular ministerial post that I know I've arrived. It's not until anything. It is until Christ. It says that is what it means to receive eternal life. That's why anytime eternal life comes to people, whether you are preaching it or you are receiving it, you must understand it in the context of the fact that other things have been supplying that life even before eternal life comes. And until we do that comparison, it will be very hard for people to understand what they have received. And that's the reason why most of the gospel presentation that does not knock on people's idols, they're not very effective. You can see, you can't even escape this. Jesus had to use the same approach, the same presentation strategy. Why did Jesus just say to the woman, the water I will give you will become what? A well of what? Life, springing up to what? Eternal life. So let's go on now. Say after me, I receive. No. Jesus said, no. This will not work until we smash down your idols. We need to tear down your idols. We need to tear them down. If not, this will not work. This will just fall flat. That's what when people hear the gospel today. You know what happens when people hear the gospel today? That's what's happening in so many places of worship. Anytime they hear the gospel, you know what they do? Like you just said, What they do is that they just hijack Christ and use him to what? Propel and promote their idol. You see, instead of Christ coming to smash down the what? Idol and take place and take root, what it does is they then use the Christ and turn it to utility to still continue the same process.
They even have deliberate actions in which programs are designed for that.
They
feel like they want the attendance, they were thinking about relevance. They want people to feel like instead of sitting back and read their books or go and meet this business coach and go for this. So how do we provide all this in one stop shop in the house where you can have all this? And also they can get their loyalty by this. We will supply it. If it's a marriage seminar, we do this for. If it's enrichment, if it's about your career, we bring everything all together. So using Christ to foil that part of their life.
Just use it. Now, is that something new? It's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. In 15th verse of John chapter 4, that's what the woman was trying to do, isn't it? She said, I don't need to come and draw it. Give me that water.
And again, I like the part that you said, that that is the reality we have. Those are things that is happening on ground now. Where they just say, okay, Jesus will just say, that's what most ministers are doing. Jesus will just say, this is the life, I'm giving you this water, so let's pray, say after me.
Yeah.
That is the thing. Now, people don't really know what they are.
No.
So nobody is identifying something for
them. Oh, my God.
Nobody is asking them to come back to the table and let us recalibrate. Let's just talk about these things that you are holding. These are things that the false gods. Right. So let us just say after me, you know, affirmation.
Oh, my Jesus.
And just everybody run off.
And
that's why I say come back again. We need to, I have said it before, there's a coming back again. The gospel, the presentation must bring a coming back again to a table to recalibrate. Oh, this is it. We identify this. This is what it should be. That is the thing. That is like the place of that exchange. That is the course. There's
Jesus.
A coming back again. Huh. So we are not going to send people off all in the energy to do the same thing again and again and become twice the son and daughters of devil.
Oh my Jesus. It means if the woman had left in 15 verse, if the woman had gone into the city
or just done affirmation
for 15th verse, she would have just said, I met a man
who told me
ways in which you don't need to keep drawing what water. I mean, I don't need to you don't want to stress out again, come to Jesus. You don't want to keep coming to draw water, you come to Jesus. You want your case to be better than others who will be coming to draw the water all the time. Come to Jesus. Now, if Jesus had left her in the 15th verse, she would have gone to the town and carried that gospel. I met a man who showed me ways in which you can live a life without stress.
These are our new evangelists now. These are the people we see on the
15th verse, where you don't need to keep coming to what? He showed me ways you don't need to keep coming to draw water.
The church, the body, and in the denomination, they are not throwing out people like this out.
In verse 15.
Yes, they are throwing people out there, just the street evangelists, the new age evangelists, telling you, there's a better way.
You've been drawing water all the time? No, there's a better way. You don't need to stress out to draw water. Somebody, I will show you a man. You know, it's amazing that it was still about a man who will actually help you so that you don't need to keep coming to what? To draw water. That's what the woman thought that Jesus was all about.
And that is why the book of 2 Timothy was telling that this scripture, the whole scripture, is for training in righteousness. So it's like the church is not doing what they should do. People are not fully equipped. So they are setting people out, half-baked.
She recounted what she thought she heard.
Yes, and
what
so people
she thought
are
she
running off
say.
At that point.
Verse 15.
They are running off at verse 15. They have not even come to understand the thing themselves. They have not come to recalibrate for themselves. There is no coming back again for them. And before running off to meet people on the street. So really, they are reading the same, because they don't know better. And so they talk to people, proselytizing people in the same way of what they understood. So we just have these unending cycle of half-baked people that are not thoroughly equipped, and that is why we must expose ourselves to the scripture. He said the whole scripture is for training righteousness that will be thoroughly furnished unto good works. So because if we want to do the good work of evangelizing and bringing out this commission, we must be thoroughly furnished for it. We need to understand it and say there's a coming back again in our life in which we are able to identify this. And that's the thing. Until then, we don't have a business talking to anybody at all.
That's why in verse 16, Jesus called and said, come, before you go.
Come back again with your
husband. Go and call your husband. I mean, you don't get the point.
Yes,
you don't know what it means
this.
To receive eternal life. You don't know what it means to receive Zoe, life of God. You don't know what this life of God you're going to receive. We smash everything else in place and take root and begin to be the one that names you and identifies who you are. And that's my eternal plan for your life. And that's what the gospel, is all about. And I think if the gospel is presented in this way, some people that will hear our preaching and our teaching, they will think twice before they give their life to Jesus.
Yes.
See, the rich young ruler, I mean, that's the reason it
and
went
it
away.
Be that way.
That's the reason, because don't forget, my question is, what was the rich young ruler looking for? He said he wanted eternal what? Life. But when Jesus told him what it was, is that what it really means? Are you going to say then that I'm going to say I am who I am by the grace of what? God? He came for eternal life. Jesus didn't even put the words in his mouth. He was the one that said, what can I do to gain eternal what? Life? What can I do to have this nature, this quality, this character of life that makes God God? That is what he was asking for. And when Jesus said to him, well, you know what? You are asking for life eternal. You are asking that I become your life. You are asking that you be called by my name. You are asking that you be qualified by me, but something already qualifies you. You see yourself being qualified as a man of status. You see yourself as somebody that is so worthy, somebody that is valuable. You see yourself as somebody whose life counts, not because of who I call you, but because of what money calls you. And you see, this is the point. I mean, again, don't ever think in your mind it's about money. It's got nothing to do with money. For example, like I said to you about the woman, that it's nothing to do about the husband, because God started the decision of what? Marriage for her to what? For a man and a woman to marry, it was God's idea. So it wasn't about the husband thing. And again, it wasn't also about money or possession. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just got everything to do with the fact that the human heart has the capacity. Again, listen to our last transmission. We read the book of Isaiah that says the very same thing that we have in this world to use. At times, our heart has the capacity to transmute those things and convert them to something that confers meaning on our lives, that drives us in and there, that gives us a sense of worth and meaning. He said that's wrong. And that's what we see about the rich young ruler. He's just saying, man, there's something that I named you, and I want to name you. We both can't name you. And when Jesus touched on that thing, the reason why Jesus touched on that is so that the man can understand what it means to receive what? Eternal life. I said, he walked away. And I think today, in our generation, if the gospel is presented the way it should be presented, so people will think twice before they receive what? The Lord Jesus. I think the reason why some people might be in a hurry to receive Christ, and that tells us about the parable of the sower, that Jesus said there are some seeds that were planted on what? On stony what? Ground. And when Jesus gave the interpretation of that, he said there were people who received the word of God with gladness. I mean, the gladness. They were so happy. And I'm wondering, why would you be so glad to receive the word of God? Maybe that explains the 15th verse of this woman, where she was so happy. She said, so you mean there's a water I can get that will save me, and that time. I can have time or stress enough, I can have peace and joy, like
less
that?
Stress.
Less stress. You mean I can get ahead? It give me energy boost, and I can have what? Leverage over other people? Because come and give me this water.
Yeah, so be glad to be part of that.
People said they'll receive the word with gladness. But it had no roots. I mean, it never dealt with the things you deal with. And it says, when there was what? When offense came,
the word, they
just fell down. But this is what Jesus was trying to drag this woman through in the fourth chapter of the, 15 verse, the 14 verse, 15 verse, 16 verse, to make her understand the life eternal, this quality of life that will come into you. That in every situation, in every circumstance, in every condition of life, that you have only one thing to say. I am what I am.
By
the grace of God. Somebody calls you a name. Somebody tries to label you. You say, I am what I am. By the grace of God. Your circumstances come to label you. You say, I am what I am. Your success wants to tag you. I am what I am. By the grace of God. Your failure wants to tag you. I am what I am. By the grace of God. Sickness and disease wants to tag you. So I am what I am. By the grace of God. Lack wants to tag you. I am what I am. By the grace of God. Abundance wants to tag you. Say, I am what I am. By the grace of God. Connections, relationships want to tag you. You can say, I am what I am. By the grace of God. Your culture wants to tag you. Say, I am what I am. By the grace of God. Your race, your skin color wants to tag you. You say, no, I am what I am. By the grace of God. That is what it means for somebody to know they have received what? Eternal life. That's what it means. It goes down to the roots. and revolutionizes the whole thing. It scatters your whole life. It revamps your whole destiny. That's what Jesus told that woman. You don't understand eternal life. Go and call your husband. Let's talk. Let's revamp. Let's revolutionize your whole life. For some of you, it may be your husband. It may be something else in your life. But everybody has the capacity to understand what it means to receive eternal life. That's what Christ was simply saying.
It is my prayer today that we all come and have the understanding that Jesus has, you know, because this system, this world system now, especially the one we are in now, is just the one that is based on algorithm, is based on about what is the number, you know, the estimation is about the number in your account, the number of people under your influence, you know, how many people can you command? It's just all about numbers. Mm. And Jesus was just like, he wasn't user-friendly, you know. Mm. He was telling a man that came to you to ask for this. Jesus was all in a haste, in a hurry to convert and say this. It doesn't matter. With your level of understanding, is so limited where you'll get by and by, like we're doing, like most people are doing today. Mm. We'll say no. No matter how long it takes. Mm. Because if you are really careful, if you are really conscious about it, you want to commit, you want people to commit on the spot. But we were saying, no, this woman, we need to get this sorted. So the man, the young rich ruler, you might need to go and come back again, just like he told me. But fortunately, this woman was able to come back. So I don't think the young rich ruler ever came back. So just the time, and just having the sense that, no, it's not about just getting the people to it, getting people to commit fast. We get people to really understand. There are people of understanding who are making the commitment today. That will refocus our mind against these numbers and how many and this and get to the root.
Thank you for that. Now, you see, this then begins to clarify these scriptures. This is, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, or for theirs is the life of God. For theirs is eternal life. For they are the ones that are the possession, they are the possessor rather, of life eternal. Why is that? Does it mean what happens to those who think they do have? What's their hope? Well, they are hopeless. The reason is, even if you are loaded, even if you are graced, even if you do have things, even if you do have people, even though you do have a status, you have a position, even though you have something you can lay hold of, that you can say, yes, this is life. Is simply saying to you that the gospel only comes or is only received by those who have become poor, by those who have come to the conclusion that unless Christ is my life, I have no life. He said they are the only ones that can receive what? The gospel, which means the gospel makes you the poor. And that's what it means. He said, blessed are the poor, for theirs is what? The kingdom of God. The gospel makes you the vulnerable. The gospel makes you the one that without the burial, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ to your benefit, you are nothing. That you have no life. That you are nobody. That life is worthless and meaningless and valueless for you unless you latch on to the grace of God. That's what the gospel does to you. As long as life can still be something else for you apart from Christ, it means you have not come to draw on the life eternal. This is the reason why this just doesn't happen in this world, but also in the world to what? To come. That's why I like that hymn where he says, even when I stand before the throne, I will still say, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself. Even when I see you on the throne, when I see you face to face, I will still say, I have nothing I can lay hold of to say, I think I'm not that bad, or to say, I think I did well for myself. I said, let me, when I see you before your throne, let me still say, Rock of Ages, let me hide myself. Let me still say, look at Christ, so qualify me. Don't qualify by what? Anything else. Don't place any premium on me or whatever I've done. Let it be on Christ. He said, I will still say that even when I get before your throne. And that is what it means to receive what? Eternal life. This is what it means. It means you have lost every right in your life. You have lost every right to be able to live or define yourself by anything else. You've lost that right. So the receiving of eternal life is the taking away from you that kind of right. You've lost it forever. That's why Jesus told that woman, if you want to talk about eternal life, you're missing the point in 15 verse. Go and call your husband. And that's what we see there.
As we round off today, we believe the Holy Spirit that the Lord is calling out to, calling forth in our lives and saying, oh, call out, maybe it's calling out for your spouse, calling out for your children, your project, whatsoever that is standing as the husband in this, in the case of this woman in your life. But I pray that you have the sense to come back again. Mm-hmm. The recalibration, you will not be like the young Rachel that went sorrowfully, that did not come back.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, the coming back, to need to recalibrate, to reevaluate, so that this is, does not make sense, to give up your first God so that you can receive the eternal life. Because if there's no way you can hold on to that and have the eternal life. So today we just pray that you have that sense to do the coming back again. As the Lord is touching this, you will not be offended by it. You know, the young ritualer was really offended and went away sorrowfully. The Lord touched it in this woman, touched the husband, but this woman was not offended, you know. Some people you can't really think of. So today we just pray you will not be offended as the Lord is touching this, and there was going to be a coming back to reevaluate, to give up on this so they can accept the eternal life. I hope today's transmission will be able to explain eternal life, so it's like eternal life explained. And I pray that you will enjoy this life, you will live out the reality of eternal life, because this is eternal life, that you may know Him.
Good. And there's one thing I want to say as we round off. Can I say, do we still have enough time? And we still have a bit of few minutes. You see, can I go on and say that?
Just quickly,
just a few minutes. Like you just said, what we wanted to get away from this transmission today is to understand the very crux and the essence of life eternal.
Yeah.
And there's a verse that came to my heart as you were talking. 1 John 3:15, it says that we know we have passed from death unto life. And it says, if anybody ate his brother, he said, is a murderer. And he said, you know that a murderer does not have, can you see, does not have eternal life, abiding what? In him. And it would mean that if you see somebody that can hit somebody else, that can develop a serious grudge against somebody and wish them dead, he said, you can tell that they are deriving their satisfaction and contentment from something that's not from the life of God. And that's why today you see lots of anger. People are so angry to the point of wishing somebody dead. And one of the reasons, you know, at times when you talk about people being angry, we always say they need therapy. We say, yeah, they need to go for therapeutic sessions, psychological evaluation, and anger management classes. As good as those things may be, the scripture makes us understand, in most cases, the foundation of deep-seated bitterness and anger is because somebody's idol has been touched. It's because what somebody's getting their life from, something else is touching. That's why they can really become bitter and angry against people or against someone or against anything that stands in the way of their idol. You see, when the apostle went to preach the gospel in Ephesus, the scripture tells us that there was so much anger, and they gathered and they went to arrest Paul. And the scripture says the reason was because Paul touched on the idol in the city. In fact, the scripture simply said that they had a temple, and those people said, the reason why we have gathered against Paul, in their own words, they said it was because Paul was preaching against our idol. Can you see? Anger and bitterness, craziness happening because of those very things. That's why the Bible says, if you have eternal life abiding in you, why are you so bitter? It means you must have been getting your life, your meaning from something else. That's
so
what we
eternal
see that
life is being explained, and so we want you to join us in our next transmission as we continue on this. So if you have any question, please get back to us on our comment page. So till we see you next time, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk
in Him. God bless you. Bye.